It's here! And it is good to be back. Welcome to the Stoney Richards Live from the Center podcast for you. We were off last week, off visiting the West Coast in Los Angeles, where there is no rain, just blue skies and plenty of trains. Yes, trains. It's amazing. We lived there years ago. For a long time, and when they started building the subway in Los Angeles, I said, why? Who in the city that worships automobiles, Los Angeles, California, why would anybody get on a subway? And originally it was like Union Station, 6 miles to somewhere else. It now goes out to the valley. It, in 3 years, will go all the way to Santa Monica to the beaches. Yes, you'll be able to take a subway to the beaches in Los Angeles. It is an amazing feat for a city that keeps inventing itself simply because it has to. And along the way, it prays for rain. But anyway, we were out and without microphones, so couldn't do the show. And if you are getting this off of StoneyRichards.com, we are back with more shows and some big announcements coming in the weeks to come for you to be able to get the Stoney Richards Live from the Center podcast. So without any further time spent yakking it up, let's do some more yakking it up. We have some news about Jeb Bush. Remember Jeb Bush? During campaign stops this week, Jeb Bush proclaimed his zeal for space exploration, defending Newt Gingrich's widely mocked plan to colonize the moon. While it's fun to see a candidate come out in favor of space, don't get too excited. According to the New York Times' Matt Flegenheimer, Bush was asked at a town hall meeting about Gingrich's plan for a moon colony. Campaigning in New Hampshire on Wednesday, Mr. Bush professed a soft spot for the idea. People started laughing, he told voters at a town hall-style event, recalling Mr. Gingrich's remarks, quote, and I'm thinking, really? I think it's pretty cool. It's not in the absence of taking care of the hungry or the poor, he said. We're a big country. We're a generous country, and the benefits of this are far more than people realize. That doesn't mean Bush is promising not to protect NASA's budget or addressing the hungry and the poor, for that matter. Flegenheimer also mentions that Bush pointed to dreamers in the private sector, including Elon Musk, who could make a moon colony actually happen. Bush's support for a moon colony might seem out of touch with NASA's current focus on the red planet, the story goes on. But on the other hand, there's been an increased interest in the moon from researchers over the past few years. Just this week, they wrote about an idea, they said, from MIT and NASA's Jet Propulsion Laboratory that proposed the moon as a logical way station on the way to Mars. I mean, it's there. We may as well use it, right? Either way, it's going to be interesting to see whether NASA and the role of space emerges as an issue in this coming year of campaigning. Maybe Trump will propose a lunar moat to keep a more literal kind of illegal alien out of America's hypothetical colony. And no more shock and awe. Jeb Bush, on the other hand, has become just another guy in a crowded field of presidential aspirants. Talk about pie in the sky. There's no money in the coffers. The former Florida governor spent 86% of the money he collected over the past 3 months, burning through $11.5 million of the $13.4 million that he raised. He should have raised at least $25 million, a major Republican fundraiser told Matea Gold and Philip Rucker. Jeb's third quarter report filed hours before the deadline showed Bush with less cash on hand right now than Ted Cruz, Marco Rubio, and Ben Carson. The struggling campaign has slashed staff salaries, not a good sign, tried to cut costs in other ways, including requiring the use of cheaper hotels. Jeb's haul is still a lot of money for sure, but it is a staggeringly underwhelming figure for the son and brother of former presidents, both of whom hosted multiple events to shake the family's network money tree. Some donors are really nervous, another top Bush fundraiser told Mattea and Rucker.
He's making headlines, maybe down in white rice. They wanna run the nation, the Kardashians.
Time now for another exciting episode of The Clintdashians. In today's episode, Hillary is looking over debate pictures with Bill.
Look at this one, Bill. That's a weird expression.
Yeah, but you look fine. I think that's you looking to see if everybody's at their podium.
Oh, right. Now, who's that fella?
Well, Hillary, that's Lincoln Chafee.
Really? And what's he doing there?
Well, he's running for president, Hill.
Well, I'll be. What'd you think about my performance?
You're fine. You're just fine. Everybody's saying you won, but I tell you what, honey, watch out for Bernie Sanders. He impressed a lot of folks with his showing.
Oh, wait. Somebody's instant messaging me.
Who is it?
It's the Donald. He says he's going to call me.
Well, why doesn't he just...
Hello, Donald.
Hillary, put me on speaker so Bill can hear, so everybody can hear.
You already are, Donald.
Bill, Hillary, anybody else in the house, listen, what are you doing on a stage with a bunch of losers and a socialist? I saw that debate the other night. Ba-oom. Look, you need some PR. You need a TV event that's going to be huge. You know I cherish you, Hillary. You know that, don't you?
Where's this going, Don?
Well, since I hogtied CNBC, I'm sure you heard about that. It's all over the papers. It's all over the news. Everybody's going gaga over it. It's a two-hour debate on CNBC. What do you say I get them to do a one-hour debate with sleepy eyes over there, you know? And Hill and I go at it in a one-hour special right after that. The ratings will be huge, and America will see great TV again.
Donald. We're supposed to be running for president.
Yeah, I know, but getting TV ratings is so much more fun. This is exactly what America wants. This is what's going to make America great again. And at the end...
Don, I think you're off on the wrong track here.
No, this is perfect. Bill, listen to me. Bim, bam, boom. We just keep going. And at the end, I turn to Sleepy Eyes Ben Carson and say, you and Jeb, you're both losers. You're low energy and your ratings suck. Therefore, for you're both fired. Then we call Carly Fiorina, and I tell her,
Donald, I think you better think that over, and we'll get back to you.
Politics, schmolitics. I say let's make politics fun again. Ivanka is putting together a big event. It's...
Hey, gotta go. Our Jimmy John sandwiches are here, and I gotta pay the guy.
Well, did somebody say lunch? And who said there's no free lunches in politics? Find out if there are in our next exciting episode of The Clintdashians.
He's making headlines, maybe down in white rice. They want to run the nation, the Clintdashians.
You said what?
You said what? What'd I say? Now. You said what?
And not only what was said, but what was done. For generations, this from the New York Times, teenage boys got their first look at a naked woman from Playboy, often from a copy swiped from dad's sock drawer or filch from a newsstand. These days, however, you can see far more explicit photos on your phone than anything Hugh Hefner probably imagined when he launched his pioneering Skin magazine 62 years ago with the centerfold of Marilyn Monroe. Which is why Playboy announced this past week it will stop running nude photos in its U.S. print edition. You're now one click away from every sex act imaginable for free, and so it's just passé at this juncture, Playboy Enterprises CEO Scott Flanders told the New York Times, which first reported the change. In a move, Playboy said they had the blessing of the 89-year-old Hefner. The magazine will continue to publish what it called sexy, seductive pictorials of the world's most beautiful women. But those women will presumably have some clothes on. It's the end of an era, many said Tuesday, among them author Gay Talese, who wrote about Playboy and Hefner in his 1981 book about the sexual revolution. He said, the book was Thy Neighbor's Wife. Playboy was important enough to be the first magazine in the mainstream that could both be called a literary magazine and a magazine for masturbation, he told the Associated Press. During the magazine's heyday, subscribers could plausibly, if not always convincingly, claim they read it for the articles. That's what I did. If published, the work of such it published the work of such writers such as John Updike, Jack Kerouac, Ray Bradbury, Joseph Heller, and interviewed the likes of Jimmy Carter, Fidel Castro, Malcolm X, Muhammad Ali, Miles Davis, Frank Sinatra, Bob Dylan, John Lennon. It also published nude photos of celebrities such as Drew Barrymore and Daryl Hannah and made stars of Playmates of the Month like Anna Nicole Smith. The magazine that helped trigger the sexual revolution has seen its circulation plunge, however, in recent decades because of some of the very forces it actually set in motion. And after hearing news of Playboy's decision to stop featuring fully naked models in its pages, Jenny McCarthy says she'd totally take it all off one more time to be featured in the magazine again. McCarthy, a former Playmate of the Month and Playmate of the Year, first posed for the Gentleman's Mag back in 1993. During her SiriusXM show on Wednesday, the model and actress reacted to the news by campaigning for the final centerfold. "I would totally be willing to take it all off one more time," she said, "just to say I'll be in the last one." To this day, McCarthy admits she feels proud of her past Playboy spreads. "They really captured that innocence of the women, almost like art, almost like art," she said. "There was nothing that I felt was too embarrassing or gross, and nothing that I'm not proud of today." She continued, "It breaks my heart that it's the end of an era, and in solidarity, I will be wearing my panties at half mast."
You said what?
It is time once again for the evening sports dish, so let's get right to it, shall we, ladies and gentlemen? Well, hockey season is once more upon us, and thankfully the Steelers are taking as much focus as we can give them because the Penguins seem to have trouble filling holes, especially if the holes are 6x4 like the size of an NHL goal cage. Now, don't worry. I have a whole list of early season slump excuses to get to here, but come on, kids! The Penguins supposedly are blessed with the likes of Sidney Crosby, Evgeny Malkin, and now Phil Kessel. The only time that combination looked good was in the summer, because once the preseason got going, and now the season, these three apparently are being held back for, I don't know, the playoffs? That has to be Rutherford's plan. Get these guys into the playoffs without the big names and then roll them out as the leaders of the second season. There's always more success in anticipation than in realization, and we're all starting to realize that, yes, once again, these recent line changes don't add up to, well, let's be honest, many goals at all. Now, if the Penguins were a soccer team, well, that's another story. Hey, if it was your kid's soccer team, you'd be saying, "Good game, have a juice box." But these are the Pittsburgh Penguins, seeking their third Stanley Cup. Though the way they've been playing, they'll have better luck looking for Stanley's Cup than the Stanley Cup itself. Oh, I know, and here we go with the excuses. It's early. A few games do not a season make. Remember, there are 82 games in a season. We know the pucks are going in eventually. We've hit some hot goalies. Feel free to add your excuses here, because at this rate, the Penguins organization has more excuses than Stanley Cups, or for that matter, goals. Yes, the Pens have some great playmakers, and if you've watched these recent games, they've made some really good plays. But plays don't get counted in a game. It's goals, boys. It's goals. You know where Mike Lang gets to talk about fried chicken and Cordobas and grandma and scratching your back with a hacksaw? Speaking of that, watching these games lately, I don't know if I should cry or wind my watch. Better call Arnold Slick from Turtle Creek, if you know what I mean. I'm Stoney Richards, and that's Sports from my Vantage Point. High in the booth.
Let's get out there and hit some people.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another segment of interviews with people who sound like people you know. And with us in the studio, a man who sounds like Anchorman Dan Rather.
Thanks for having me, Stoney. It's great to be on the air here in Pittsburgh.
There is a new movie coming out called Truth. It's really about you with Robert Redford starring as you. How do you feel about that, Mr. Rather?
Well, Stoney, I'd have to say at this point it's all good news. But as we used to say down in the Everglades, don't taunt the alligator till you've crossed the creek.
I see, but are you hoping for real success from this picture when it opens at theaters across the country?
Let's be fair, Stoney. If you try to count the tea leaves before the cup is done, you can get yourself burned.
Well, can you give us a little insight into the problems you had before you left the anchor chair, which is really what this movie is about?
I'm sure the world would like to know, but on the advice of my legal team, my lips are about as tight as the pages of a book.
The man sounding like Dan Rather with us. You had some tough times, I'm sure, as you made the transition from Anchorman to your current position in the digital world. Tell us about that.
Well, at first, my financial situation was shakier than cafeteria jello. But as things went on, I found that a lot of my friends actually hung on me like a coat rack, which was very helpful.
How did you come up with a solution to saving your career?
Stoney, we Anchormen have a saying, when the going gets weird, Anchormen punt.
As you look back, any regrets?
Well, when you live by the crystal ball, you end up eating a lot of broken glass. But really, sometimes I don't know whether to wind the watch or bark at the moon.
I'll figure that one out later. Dan, I wish you a lot of success with your future and this movie. Will you see it in theaters when it opens?
Last time I was in a theater, Stoney, the air conditioning was too low and it was hotter than a Laredo parking lot. So I choose to just watch the box office returns. And as my daddy always used to say, don't bet the trailer money just yet.
Thank you very much. There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Our interview with a man sounding just like Dan Rather. And after the break, more with more people that sound like people who you think you know. Well, as we continue now with the Stoney Richards Live from the Center podcast, we get to what we've all been waiting for. It is time once again for another one of our letters from home. Because no matter how far away you roam, there's simply, say it with me, class, no place like home. And in this case, home being Pittsburgh. As vibrant and exciting as Pittsburgh gets for all of us, what with our snazzy new bike lanes, movie shoots, and continually growing restaurants and skyline, it's still a conversation stopper. Oh, yeah. We were at a function for a friend in Los Angeles last week, having a wonderful cocktail conversation when the talk turned to where you live. When we said Pittsburgh, there was almost an audible, oh, like, wow, how did you draw the short straw? You know what they say, don't seek greener pastures away from the farm. Actually, I'd never heard anyone say that, but, well, I have to say something when the conversation lulls, you know how it is. And when there's a lull in the action, leave it to the Steelers to buoy our spirits. Down in the dumps and feeling Chicago Cubs blue last week, it was our own black and gold who made the magic come back to the North Shore with a come-from-behind last-second win in San Diego. And with news that Big Ben is happily on the mend and recovering from the MCL strain faster and better than expected, well, things are looking up once again. And do you look up when you're on the Pennsylvania Turnpike, as they have monitors, cameras, and spotters to make sure our easy pass, which isn't so easy, it turns out, is collecting all the fees owed it? I bet you don't. I'd explain how it works or doesn't work, but not even Steve Jobs could understand it if he was here. Talk about a user-unfriendly app. Why do we always get the losers? She's now referred to as Pittsburgh's own Dance Moms TV star Abby Miller, and she was just indicted on fraud charges for not disclosing a good amount of income from the TV show on her taxes. And not just some. Investigators say she hid about $750,000 worth of income. Or to put it another way, that's a lot of Primanti sandwiches. And good news for the residents of East Liberty. The new East Liberty Transit Center opened with a lot of mayoral brouhaha this past week, making it easier for residents and visitors to get from East Liberty and Shadyside into each other's neighborhoods, including a shopping stop at Whole Foods on Sutter near South Highland. Which is good, because with the money you save using the intermodal transportation system, their term, not mine, you'll more easily be able to afford the fine organic foods that Whole Foods makes available to us all. Which begs the question, can I get jicama on my Primanti egg and bacon sandwich? I'm Stoney Richards, and that, my friends, is this week's Letter from Home. We come now, ladies and gentlemen, in the Stoney Richards Live from the Center podcast to the Martini, the final story, and it's this. Batman and Superman are doing it, so it was probably only a matter of time. After weeks of chatter, Warner Brothers and Legendary Pictures officially announced that in 2020, there will be a movie face-off between legendary cinematic beasts King Kong and Godzilla. You can breathe easy. The non-speaking computer-generated stars of 2014's Godzilla and 2005's King Kong will soon be joined together at the center of their own movie. So let's assume their climactic showdown will be a landmark achievement in sparkling on-screen banter. And while we're at it, let's also assume its working title is Godzilla versus King Kong: Dawn of Justice. But before that happens, each giant monster will get a new movie of its own. Kong: Skull Island will arrive in 2017, and Godzilla 2 is slated for summer 2018. For the company's joint press release, following Legendary's and Warner Brothers Pictures' 2014 success with the global reinvention of the Godzilla franchise, the companies have come together to create an epic new shared cinematic franchise. Wow. All powerful monsters become towering heroes for a new generation, revealing a mythology that brings together Godzilla and Legendary's King Kong in an ecosystem of other giant super species, both classic and new. Wow. So there it is, friends. The beginning of the end. Yes, and speaking of the end, we've come to it, my friends. You've wasted almost another half hour with the Stoney Richards Live from the Center podcast. Thank you. It's always found and stored right up there on the website at stoneyrichards.com. And soon we will have some wonderful news for you concerning the program, if you care to hear about it. As we always say at the end, thanks. Thanks to you for checking us out and liking us and tweeting us and whatever else it is you do. I want to say thanks to Drake Donovan for his creative input into the show today. Of course, our musical director, as always, Johnny Greco. God bless you, sir. And our webmaster in the dungeon of the webs, Mr. Jeff Orbitz. I'm Stoney Richards. Thanks. We'll have more for you next week on the Stoney Richards Live from the Center podcast.